Welcome to Fearless Marketing for Life Coaches. I'm Simone Soul, and I'm here to teach you how to get your life coaching practice fully booked without having to pay for ads, buying Instagram followers, or complicated sales funnels. It's not rocket science, and you can do it too. Listen on to find out how. So I have on my podcast today my client, Jacqueline Gates, who is now a fully booked coach.
Time, ta-da-da!
Ta-da-da! She's in my 6 months to fully booked mastermind. She got fully booked in less than 6 months, and she does the most amazing work helping women live as if they are already who they secretly dream of being and become that person that they're secretly dreaming of being by using their homes and wardrobes as manifesting tools. Now, she teaches how to turn housework. So this is like my understanding of, so you can correct me if I'm misrepresenting it, but how to sort of use like the same housework that we all do, which is like clean and laundry and organize and cook and whatever, the same things we do, and turn them into like these powerful tools of creating a version of yourself that you want to create and make your dreams come true. And it's all like very magical. She does work that has no example, has no parallel, and is an amazing combination of skills. So I can't wait for more of the world to meet her work. And I invited her on the show to talk about her journey to getting fully booked and how her own tools have helped with that. And obviously, we want to give you, all of our listeners, actionable things that you can implement right away to start having some of the same results. So welcome, Jacqueline.
Thank you. Thank you. I am so delighted to talk today.
And she just has the most wonderful voice and the most wonderful accent. She's like your fairy godmother coach. So first of all, congratulations on being fully booked.
Thank you. Thank you. It was one of those things that felt like it, when I started, it seemed so far away. And when it happened, it was like, oh yeah, well, look at that. Here I am.
Okay. You know what's so funny is that, I don't know if you remember, but in my group, you know, I had that thread where I asked everybody, how are you going to celebrate once you get fully booked? And everybody had these very dramatic celebrations that they are going to do, right? Like, I'm going to go on this vacation. I'm going to like do this. I'm going to, you know, and it was all like big, like I think everyone has this idea that once they become fully booked or once they hit an important business milestone, that it's going to feel like curtains, you know, and like, ta-da, and then like a chorus of angels singing. The dramatic happening. And I would always laugh. And I hope that people give themselves proper flashy celebration, right? Like, as you know, in the mastermind, we're all about celebration, but also like so much of success just feels, you tell me.
Well, because you have to become that person. Because you have to rehearse that starring role. You have to become that person thoroughly in order to become that person. And if you do your job properly, you become it on the inside. And then when the outsides catch up, it's like, oh,
of course,
there you are. Of course.
Yes.
Right. And actually, I had said, yes, I'm going to be fully booked. And I had announced in the mastermind, I had one more to go. And then I really honed in on this beingness of fully booked coach and how she was going through her day and how the thoughts I was going to have, the thoughts I was practicing and rehearsing and having. And so when I signed up number 10, I was just about to serve dinner, and I signed her up and I got the PayPal thing and I put her on my made sure the calendar thing was organized. And then I served dinner and I was sitting down eating, and I suddenly put my cutlery down and I said to my husband, I'm a fully booked coach. It was surreal. It was just like, holy shit, everything has caught up, you know, because the thing with transformation, the kind of work we do with coaching, is that you can change your insides in a nanosecond. A thought can change in a nanosecond. But unfortunately, reality takes a little longer to catch up, because if it was as good as our thoughts, we would be the literal fairy godmother, right? We would go Shazam and things would change. We have to have a bit more practice before we get there. So the real work is holding on to the inside shift to give reality time to catch up.
Oh, I love that so much. So what you're saying is, so here's what's going on, is that when you think that you are the underbooked coach, when you're the, I think who I am is the coach who just has a couple of clients and struggles to get more. And from that vantage point, when you think about being fully booked, it's like, oh, I'm going to celebrate. It's going to be amazing. But then once you actually get to fully booked, what's happened is that your insights, as you put it, and like how I would put it is like your mindset, your thoughts, right? It's the same thing. Your insights have already changed so that that is like your, yeah, that's just who I am. It's a big deal. And then when once the outsides catch up, meaning that you actually are in like objectively in the material world fully booked, or you made this much money, whatever, it just seems like it's just congruent with who you are already believing yourself to be. So it's only like a shock and a dramatic like celebration if it's, you know, again, I'm totally encouraging celebration, but just notice when you think that something is really out of reach, when you think that something feels like a pipe dream, you know, pie in the sky dream, all that's happening is it's not actually a pie in the sky dream. It's not actually so far from you. It's just that you haven't decided that that's who you are inevitably becoming. You haven't decided to sort of kind of switch. I mean, you haven't fully sort of switched your insides yet, right?
Right. And it's that thing that you taught us about the difference between evidence and events, right? Is this an event that happens to you or evidence of who you are? So when I talk about becoming, it's evidence, right? So when the fully booked coachness turns up, it's evidence of who you are. It's not an event that happens to you. It's an event that happens through you. And therefore, it's you celebrate because you celebrate your outsides catching up with your insides and you celebrate the manifestation. But there's this knowing that it's not like winning the lottery. There's no real happenstance here. It's evidence of who you are now.
Okay, I love
that. And so
that.
The celebration is whipped cream.
I love it. The celebration is whipped cream. The thing is, like, I didn't actually give you that wording. I think you created that. I think I must have some version of it, but I want to slow down just a little bit so everybody gets what Jacqueline said. Like what a lot of coaches do is that a lot of coaches will get tons of positive feedback, right? From grateful clients or just people in their audience saying, you helped me so much. I think you're so amazing. Or they might, you know, make money here, sign a client there. And instead of thinking that, oh, I signed a client. Of course I did. It's who I am. I'm a life coach. I sign clients. Or I had my 5K month or a five-figure month. And then instead of thinking, well, of course I do. That's who I am. In other words, external things happening being evidence of who you are already believing yourself to be, it's very easy for coaches to do this thing where you just think it's something that just happened that has nothing to do with you, right? It's like a fluke, mm-hmm. like what Jacqueline is calling it, just in an event that happens to you. It just happened. I don't know how I created it. It feels like I didn't create it at all. It was just random. And if I think that my five-figure month was random, then that means I'm totally powerless to go create it again. Whereas if I think my first five-figure month, my first 5K month, whatever, if it's just evidence of who I am, if I believe that, I can go on and keep creating evidence. So for all the things, the good things that happen in your life and business, just notice if you are just taking them to be events, like, oh, it just happened to me. This person just reached out wanting to work with me, but I don't know what I did. You know, it's like, it just happened. It's like, no, it didn't just happen. What if you started treating all of that stuff as evidence, right, of who you are, who you mm-hmm. really are?
Because your outsides will reflect your insides, as within, so without. It is how the universe works.
Okay. And just pause. I want you to just talk about that a little bit more, because I don't really use sort of manifesting language that much, But I think I love your take on it. So just tell us like a little bit more about what it means when you say outsides reflect your insides, because it'll be for some people the first time they've heard a phrase like that. And for other people, like they're like, I think I know what that means, but elaborate on that a little bit more.
Well, it starts with the Hermetic principle from the Emerald Tablet, which is 3,000 years old. And it says, as within, so without, as above, so below. Now, the law of attraction took that really mainstream. But what it does is it affirms that our thoughts are the generation of everything. And we know this, right? So what we're thinking, we know this as coaches, what we think will show up as results in some way or another. And so I use this term of your outsides reflecting your insides because after 25 years on stage, I know what a set, a theatrical set, will, the conversation it has about the person who lives there. So when I go into, because I work with homes, if I go into a home, I can read it and read the person in it almost like a, like a magazine, like a story, because that's what set designers do. They will take a person and their thoughts and their feelings and make them visible on a stage. Mm-hmm. And we do that ourselves in our homes all the time. And so, for example, you have somebody who's, say, there's a woman who's starting a coaching business or really any kind of entrepreneurial business, and she's working in this tiny little cramped corner of the kitchen, right? And what she's saying is, I'm building this little thing, but don't mind me. I'm just going to stick it here in the corner, and I'm just going to, you know, sort of do it on the side here. Mm. Now, imagine if she claims half of the dining room table, and she sits at the head of the table, and she takes up space in her house and says, between this hour and this hour, I am in my office. And she tells the kids that until that timer goes off, unless there's smoke or blood, she doesn't want to hear from them. That is taking up space.
Smoke or blood. Love it.
When I was on stage, I used to have time to learn arias and Shakespearean, you know, soliloquies and stuff. And my kids were little. And so I would give them a little egg timer and I would say, until the bell goes off, and that, yes, mommy, no smoke, no blood, no mommy. And
that's perfect.
And so I would have these little 10-minute, initially it was 3 minutes, and both kids sat outside the door with the timer holding it like it was going until it went off, and it was like I had been gone for years. But eventually they got to the point where, you know, 15 minutes was fine. And it was how, that was how I learned my words. That's how I learned my arias. And eventually when I started working and coaching and making videos, that was what I did. I would set the timer, put it outside the door, close the door. And if the kid came to interrupt, they would see how much time was left on the timer. And they would know that I would be available to them at that point, unless there was smoke or blood. And then they could knock on the door and then they could come in, obviously. So you're taking up space. And the more you take up space in your home, the more you rehearse in a space, in an environment that is your realm to claim, the easier it is to take up space in a virtual realm and claim your Facebook wall, claim your position in front of people, in your group, in your, on your podcast, whatever. This is about rehearsing your becoming and having your outsides reflect that in the environment that you can control most, which is your home.
Hmm.
Did I make sense? Or did I?
No, that was beautiful. I was just taking it in. So I think you spoke to this in the story that you just told, and I think for probably the majority of coaches, we don't just have a gorgeous home office starting out, right? Like even I'm working out of like a tiny room. I mean, we're going to move houses soon, but you know, and I definitely had less than this when I was starting out. And so did you, it sounded like, right? Like, and so if you want to be or if you want to feel like a super successful CEO, which is, we all want to be that, and you're cramped for not just time and but just also space, and you've got kids, you've got a job, you've got this, you know, wanting your time and attention, and you don't have a gazillion dollars to just do whatever you want, which most of us don't. What would be your advice for starting to claim, other than the egg timer and the blood and smoke policy? What would be some more advice on how to start to claim your space in your life, in your home?
Each home is different, but mostly it's about the idea of not apologizing for the space you want to take up. It does take some navigating when it's a communal space, for example, but there's other places that you can, I will just segue here and say, for 8 years, I was a barista at Starbucks. And during that time, one of the most famous marketing letters was called the coffee shop letter, which was the story about a guy who ran this multi-million marketing business and coaching business from his laptop in various Starbucks, right? So he was working from a Starbucks. And I had this thing in my head as I stood behind the counter making thousands of lattes, that every single guy who sat there with his laptop was a millionaire. And all I wanted was to be on the other side of the counter. So when I started, I used to deliberately take my laptop and go and work at a Starbucks to become the millionaire, right? To become that coffee shop millionaire, give myself an hour where I felt like I was on the other side of the counter. And this is inhabiting a role, right? So there may be a spot where you feel you can really inhabit the persona of who you want to be. So it's your incoming, your persona, your next self. What if she doesn't have an office of her own? Where does she work? Maybe she has moved the furniture around and put a card table in a corner next to the window, so that becomes the office space. Maybe, like me at the moment, she claimed a piece of the bedroom because she needs to be able to have a closed door, because coaches have to close a door, right? Yeah. So initially I was in author mode, and I could be out in the lounge and I could be at the dining room table. But as I started realizing, a fully booked coach actually needs privacy, and privacy involves a closed door. So I carved out a piece of my very beautiful bedroom. I carved it out, and I've set it up for good lighting. Did you notice now? But it gives me a spot where I can close the door and I can be in empire building mode.
I love it.
And I specially bought, actually with my very first client's money, I bought a desk for myself, because I'd always worked from a table over it. And it's not an expensive desk, but it's very classy and it's very elegant. And I'm visualizing it in a fabulous office. And when I bought that desk with my money, it was enough to say, fully booked coachness is inevitable. And that's another nuance, right? That money could have gone to groceries. And I'm not saying don't throw it all, you know, throw it all away, but I am saying invest in your business, invest in your mentor, invest in the tools of your trade. Because if you were a man working in an office, you would not skimp on the tools that allow you to do your job properly. And part of becoming a fully booked coach is taking yourself seriously.
It's almost like when you make those investments, it's like making the space in your bank account for like entrepreneurial money to come in, right? Because we say we take our business seriously, but then when it comes to investing, like, I mean, this is definitely how I was starting out, but we want to spend as little money as possible, right? Like, we're not willing to make that space in our bank accounts for even bigger money to come in. And what we're trying to do when we try to spend as little money as possible is we're trying to conserve what we have, rather than like, I don't want to lose what I have, rather than I'm making space to have so much more.
Right. And you're not putting your money where your future self is. Mm. You are banking. And okay, this is one of those times where you have to put the parameters around. You do the finances that support your family and yourself, obviously. Sure. Yeah. However, from that mindset, we get very used to bootstrapping. We get very used to making do. We get very used to downloading yet another freebie, get going on yet another 5-day challenge that's free. And we offer those to our clients because
get the cheapest course, whatever possible.
Right, right. Yeah. And, but we don't take them. When I talk about decluttering, that's another whole side conversation, because there's a lot of financial privilege in just being able to toss anything that doesn't spark joy. You can have things that you hold as placeholders, right? So this laptop that I got from my husband will be a placeholder for the fancy new one that I'm intending to be, you know, to be the owner of. My dining room table was always a placeholder for the snazzy desk that I wanted. I used a dining room chair for a while. It was a placeholder for the snazzy gold and white leather desk chair that I have now. When your intention is that, it's very different. And it's our thoughts that create results. So if you are thinking that I'm always making do, I'm going to be second best. I will, you know, oh, it's okay, I can do without for a while. Well, you are modeling that for your clients. You are modeling that for everybody who works with you. I'm going to make do with your freebie. I'll make do with your group. And you taught me that, Simone. I started with you right at the when you were much less expensive than you are now. And it was expensive for me at the time, right?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Then I got onto the first mastermind, and that was a huge stretch. And then I got onto the second one, and we had a conversation about how I needed my cushion. And actually, I paid off $10,000. On my credit card in one fell swoop, because I knew that that was what a fully booked coach does. That's what the business woman in me said I was capable of, and what I proved to myself before we've even finished this one.
I love that. I love your story. When we first started working together, I think we had a $3,000 package, and it sounds like, oh, all those years ago. It was actually just last year.
It feels like a lifetime ago, and it absolutely is, because who I was then and who you were then are completely different. And that's the whole point, right?
There are several incarnations in ever since we first started working together, I think.
Absolutely.
I don't know, like spring or summer of last year. And what I really want to, like what I celebrate is that for the $3,000 for you at the time was a lot of money, and it's a lot of money, period, right? And you really had to kind of become your next self at that point in order to say, you know what, I believe in myself enough to make this investment, even though it's a giant sum of money. And then the next investment you made was $5,000 for the first round of Mastermind. And that was another, you know, I think I remember you telling me that you like swore you would never buy coaching again. Am I misremembering?
Because I wouldn't put it on. I wasn't going to go into debt for it, right? I wasn't going to put it on my card, because back when I started this whole journey, I had $4,500 on my credit card that I'd got myself into a mess with. And I totally own this with network marketing. And I went to work retail, because at the time, my self-concept, my persona, could only see having an exchange of $8 an hour. And I actually wrote a blog post about how I became a goddess working for Starbucks at $8 an hour. I was joking and said, oh, I'm the goddess of lattes. And all my client, my customers, my regulars started calling me goddess. And I started thinking, well, what would a goddess do? What would a goddess where? What would she say? How would she? Yeah. And so this persona became so much more than just the goddess of lattes. And so when I got to you, I was ripe for my next self was saying, you can go even bigger than you ever thought possible. And so I had to undo that thought pattern that said, don't go into debt because it takes you forever to pay it off.
Yeah.
I proved that to myself this time. It took me a month to pay off $10,000.
Yeah. So then you, did you have to take out credit card debt to pay for the 5K mastermind?
Yes.
And how quickly did you pay yourself back for that?
In 3 months.
So she yes. took out $5,000 on the credit card and she paid herself back for it in 3 months. And then to invest in the next mastermind, she put another 10K on the card and paid that back within 1 month, right? So I'm yep. just like, we're just telling you this story to just help you see that Jacqueline is just making more money faster and faster and faster. Mm-hmm. And so I just think that was a year ago, right? That was that you first started investing seriously in yourself, and $3,000 was a lot of money. And this time it was like 10K, meh, I can make that back, right? And I just, it's just like so fun to think of where you'll be at this point next year, because it'll just be like times five, you know, whatever it is today. That's just mm-hmm. has been your growth trajectory.
And that's the brilliant part about this, is that once you've undone the old crappy programming, not crappy, the old era programming. I use the analogy because everything with me is about theater, right? So you have this person, and I have this person in my history who is brilliant at Shakespeare. And they project and they say their lines beautifully. And then, but they always play Shakespeare, right? And then we had somebody drop out of a pantomime, and the only person available was this person. And we said, I know you only do Shakespeare, but could you just come and do pantomime for us for this minute?
And hold on, pantomime? Like a mime?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Pantomime. No. Pantomime is almost like vaudeville, right? It's very broad. It's musical theater. It's the opposite of Shakespeare. And got so it. What was happening was he had to become a different actor. He had all these skills, but he had to morph them into becoming a different kind of actor. And once you learn to do that, you can do it in anything. Mm-hmm. So when you're an underbooked coach, you have a certain role that you're really good at playing. Mm-hmm. You're really good at thinking these thoughts. You're really good at showing up to see where you can get the best bang for your buck, where the freebies are, you know, who's giving a podcast, who's giving a challenge, you know, that's how you got really good. But when you start mining your future for details on how to perform, when you start playing the role you want to play instead of the one you've always been playing, you start thinking differently. And when you learn to do that, which is what I've got so much better over this past year, is then it's the incremental steps are inevitable, because you'll just play bigger and bigger games, right? But in the beginning, you know, they say the hardest thing to do with a locomotive is to start it moving. Once you start the locomotive moving, the momentum will keep it going. So it's always the beginning part, that first investment, the first thought error that you need to undo, the first big scary thing that you do because your next self says, just go do it.
Yeah.
That just becomes your norm. And so incrementally you get bigger.
Yeah. So when you're first starting out, you don't fully believe that you're a successful coach yet. So that not only in terms of investments, but when you show up online, when you post, when you make offers, when you introduce yourself as a coach, it's an uphill battle, right? Like you have to there's so many thoughts that come up, and you know, your brain tries to tell you nobody's interested in what you have to say. Everybody thinks you're spamming them. Like your offer is stupid. There's 50 people out there doing the same thing better than you. And you know, you can't get people results. You're a fraud and all of these things. And it just, all it means is, it breaks my heart when every time, like, coaches who are starting in their journey hold it against themselves that they aren't sort of, they don't have the level of confidence that, for example, that I am at, right? Or they don't, mm-hmm. they don't have that level of belief in themselves and their business that they see somebody like me having. And it's like, well, I've had lots of time and practice to really become a successful life coach from the inside and out. And that transformation, that journey of who you feel that you are on the inside, it's not you snap a finger and it's done. Like we wish, right? It really is a journey. Yeah. And all it means is that, yeah, you're still believing that you were this old, who you used to be, right? It was a mom or an executive or whatever you used to be. That's not a coach. That identity it's going to kick and scream a little bit before it dies.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And this is right. And this is where we go back to what we talked about earlier, is you start collecting evidence. Mm. You need to start collecting evidence of your next self showing up. And I'm absolutely convinced that your next self never gives up. She's always calling to you and she's always offering evidence. So I always recommend that we have a file of fabulousness, which is what I call it. So, you know, other people have called it a dossier of awesome, whatever you want to call it. But you start collecting evidence that you are who you want to become. So when somebody says, you said just the right words at that time that changed my life, you take a screenshot and you put that on your file and you keep that. And somebody says, you know, thank you for spending time. You helped so much with what you said. That goes into your file. And they can be little things. They may not be, you know, the $500,000 testimonials. They are still evidence that you are helping facilitate transformation. And that's what a coach does. And that's what you are.
I can't stress that enough. I just want to pause there and say this has been one of the most transformative, the most powerful tools that we've been using in the mastermind, right? Like Jacqueline says, she calls it the file of awesome, did you say? No.
File of fabulousness.
Oh, file of fabulous, right? And somebody else, our colleague Janet, calls it the dossier of awesome. And I think I just called mine. I don't think I had a name for it, but I highly recommend that you do exactly what Jacqueline said. It's what I did years ago, actually just like, I don't know, 3-4 years ago, where every hint, every piece of evidence that you get towards that supports your identity, right? And there's nothing too small, right? It could mm-hmm. literally be just a Facebook comment from somebody saying exactly what I needed to read today. Thank you. Or somebody else. I would even include like things that my friends told me after talking to me and being like, I just always feel better after talking to you. Or, you know, things as casual as that. Anything that had the power to make me feel more like the person that I wanted to become, I screenshot it, the hell out of it, all of it, and I just put it all in a file. And actually, now I use screen. I still have that, by the way. I still have that going, and I still use screenshots. But back when I was first starting to do it, I actually like printed things out and copied and pasted like in real life with like scissors and glue onto an actual physical notebook that I had. And the reason that this practice is so important to be constantly gathering evidence and putting it in one place and intentionally reviewing it again and again, literally every day, right? In our mastermind, we tell each other like, hey, have you checked your dossier of awesome? Have you checked your file of fabulous? Like, have you been reading it lately today? And people will be like, oh, I forgot. It's like, well, that's why you're forgetting who you are, right? Because your brain will very rarely spontaneously remind you that you're amazing and that you totally deserve to be, you are a rock star coach and that everybody wants to work with you and all of these nice things. Your brain will just never, it'll just never spontaneously remind you of that. It will spontaneously remind you of all of the old crap, right? And so you mm-hmm. really have to actively go against a lot of your current programming. You have to feed it what you want it to think. Our brain deletes evidence that doesn't fit what we are already thinking about ourselves. So if somebody mm-hmm. says you're an amazing coach and your brain is like, no, you're not. And you're going to forget, you're going to forget that person told you that.
Yes,
right?
Absolutely.
Or you're either going to forget because your brain's going to want to delete it, or your brain's going to distort it. So if somebody says you're an amazing coach, how your brain's going to store that is by saying, well, they're just trying to be nice to you.
mm-hmm. Oh, yes, but you're not paid for that.
But you're not paid for that, so it's not real or whatever, right?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. So because your brain is a deleting and distorting machine, you want to get as much primary evidence as possible to mm-hmm. regularly feed into your brain. Like, I didn't make this up. Somebody actually said this to me.
I tell my clients all the time that if you have a goal, a persona that you want to, a next self that you want to be, that is a sign that you auditioned and got the part. You already are that person. You are learning to become them. You are learning their script, learning their wardrobe, learning their set.
Oh, that's
and part of it is learning the script And learning the script is reading the things that people say about you and taking them on. Not the crap press, because there's always people who will be mean. However, you're looking for evidence of who you're becoming, and it's right there in front of you, I guarantee you.
That is goal. Like when you decided to do something, when you set a goal, like you already got the part. And the rest mm-hmm. is just you learning the lines, you learning the moves, you learning the songs, you're just rehearsing.
Yep, absolutely.
That is,
and you just
so good.
Wait for the production to catch up. And then one day while you're sitting at dinner, it goes, ta-da! And you go, holy crap, here I am.
I think that's always how it's felt for me too, is that I keep doing the work. Like, okay, I've never been an actor, but you have, so you can tell me, but I feel like I just keep my head down in the sense of, I just keep showing up for the work of learning my lines, so to speak, and like learning how to do this role and rehearsing and rehearsing. And maybe it's like, to continue this metaphor, it's like a moment on stage where I'm like, oh my God, like I've really become this person. Like it mm-hmm. kind of sneaks up on you. Right?
Yes, it does.
Like my success and the amount of money that I have made, it just sneaks up on me. I'm like, oh my God, all of that happened while I was busy rehearsing. Right? And so, mm-hmm. of course, I give myself time to enjoy it too. But what I'm trying to convey is that it's not always going to feel like fanfare and fireworks of like, I have become, you know, for like 99% of the time, it's just going to feel like, hey, I'm just showing up to rehearsal. What do you think mm-hmm. about that?
I think that's very true, because it's immersion, right? You drop into the role that you're becoming. And this is the difference between somebody like Dustin Hoffman, who just disappears into a role, and somebody else like Matthew Perry, God bless him, who is always Matthew Perry, no matter who he's playing. But you can see difference, right? I mean, and this is why I get so annoyed when people say act as if. It's not acting. You are becoming, and you do until you become, but you have to think like who you become, because otherwise you're just acting and people can tell that. So that's why when people go, you know, you show up, like you can write an email or write a post and people just throw money at you, and somebody else will write an email and there's crickets. It's the becoming behind it. It's the role. It's the embodiment of who they are. People, we humans are very perceptive, and we know when someone is, as we call it, inauthentic. And that's just because you haven't fully immersed in your next self, in this becoming. And the way to do that is to be very clear about your next self. And I'm not talking your fully actualized multimillionaire Brooke Castillo level coach self, right? You're talking about your next self. So for me, it was fully booked, 10 clients. And
so
then
you mean like more incremental, right?
Incremental. I'm all about strategic, deliberate, incremental progress towards what you would rather experience, because otherwise people get so overwhelmed. They can't see the difference. But, you know, we talk about the showing people the bridge between where they are and where they want to be. We do that to ourselves, and we build a bridge that we can't see the end of. And then we wonder why we don't get moving. And your body of evidence, your file of fabulousness starts to show you evidence that you are moving, that you are becoming. And your job is to keep showing up as that next version of you.
So what if somebody's wondering, like, how do I know what that incremental next version of me is?
I have a 3-question process, which I start with, what's it like to be you these days? And if you're listening, you can do this. What's it like to be me these days? And write it down like a character sheet. I think this, I feel this, I'm doing this, I have this, right? And then what would you rather be experiencing? What's better, in inverted commas? What would feel like movement towards a more fulfilled, a more satisfied, a more delicious life for you? And then we look at that and get real on that. And then we say, now what can you do with what you have right where you are to move you closer to what you'd rather experience? And so maybe it's curating all the evidence of the nice things that people say about you and your coaching, and you read that every single time before you write a blog post, before you go online.
I literally recommend that you do exactly that.
Because then you show up as your next self, not as your holy crap, I'm terrified self. You show up as the star of your show, right? And I'm always talking about a leading lady life. You have to start showing up as the star of your show and own
it. I have a question.
Yeah.
What's the difference between like pretending and acting like you believe things that you don't already, and kind of like trying to force your way into a new way of being, that where you're doing it and just feels like pretending, versus like rehearsing? What's the difference to you? Because a lot of people will try to believe a new thought, a new identity, and they're like, I'm trying, but I'm not believing it really. So there's this cognitive dissonance, and it kind of creates more resistance, and it's actually not helpful. So what's the difference between like being in the process of becoming versus like feeling like it's fake?
I think it has to do with incremental. I think it has to do with thoroughly nailing act one, scene one, before you worry about the song and dance routine in the finale.
Ah.
Right? And you've got people. I remember in the old days in network marketing, they used to say, go into a Lexus showroom and ask for a test drive. Get all dressed up. That is too far. Most people, you know, you can't go from $22 in your bank account to buying a Lexus cash. We don't have that. Some people do, but most of us do not have that capacity to immerse ourselves in somebody who pays cash for a Lexus. So yeah, we have to start being, I would recommend somebody being somebody who has more clients than you have now. If you have one or two and you want five, start becoming somebody who has five clients. Don't worry about the 25 that you want to get to. Get to your five clients. And I mean, in the mastermind, I actually said, you know, let's all just get our calendars full for a week to see what it's like to have our full number of clients. Yeah. And some people went to 15 or, you know, and said, no, actually, I want to pull it back a little bit because this was a lot and my kids needed more time or whatever. I got to 10 and I thought, you know what, I can probably do 12. But I had talked myself out of 10 for the longest time because I thought I would be overworking myself to a standstill. So the point I'm making is that we don't know for sure if we go too far out. We have to start looking at the next future self, not our future self, our next future self.
So if something feels fake, I'm sorry, I keep interrupting you. So if somebody feels,
that's okay,
something feels fake, it's probably a sign that it's like too many increments away.
Yes, just that little bit too far out. And so get back to reading your evidence.
Yeah.
Go to the next step out. It will be scary. Don't misunderstand the scariness, right? Because everybody's butterflies on stage are just a sign that your biggest role is waiting for you. Mm-hmm. The adrenaline, you ride. One of the opera stars I worked with, she said, butterflies lift you up to a higher level of performance. And that's what you're looking for. But you don't want the dinosaur ones that make you feel like you're never getting off the ground, right? So you're looking at your next future self. And if that next future self has two clients, aim for her and become her and think like her. And it's the thinking like, and this is where mentoring and being part of the Fearless Group, being part of, anybody can teach you funnels and they can teach you how to, you know, do videos, and you can give you lighting tips and broadcasting tips and which podcast channel to use. But it has to do with who you think you are when you show up that matters more than anything. Yeah. Because on stage, we used to call that immersion, where you become the role. So even where the scenery falls down or the door doesn't open or you try and yank it open and the handle comes off in your hand, you respond as the person you're being, not the actor playing the part.
When you
have a wobble, you respond as your next self and the wobble doesn't last as long.
That's so good. I love it. I think, yeah, I can't agree more. Like if you have two clients now, like think about, okay, my next is having 4 clients or whatever. I think, you know, so many people look at me and sort of compare and despair in the wrong way. Like to become who I am today, I had to go through, you know, 8,000 versions of myself where I, you know, first had to get comfortable charging $100 an hour. And then I had to get comfortable charging like $120 an hour. And then I had to, you know, like it was like a million little gradations of like becoming the next. And that's all I had focused on at any given moment. And if I were to have imagined where I am today, like 2 years ago, I would have just freaked out, you know? And so you might think that this work is not dramatic enough. It's not like you might want more, like your brain might want more of a dopamine hit of like, I don't want 4 clients. I want 20. I don't want another $3,000. I want $100,000, right? But just know that this incremental work is exactly what will take you to those big dreams that you want. And they're inevitable when you know that that's who you are becoming. And like with every single additional day of you rehearsing, like that, you know, knockout performance, like leading lady role, like you're going to nail that in. Like that's coming 100%.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I'll share my most favorite quote from Leonardo DiCaprio. And he said, every next level of life will demand a different version of you.
Did he say that? It sounds like something from like...
from I know. Every next level of life will demand a different you. And I've used that I went and checked it because I couldn't believe it. It's like I didn't love you already. But yes, exactly what he said. And then the other quote that I base my work on is Winston Churchill. He said, first we shape our environments and then our environments shape us. Mm. And so I start looking at the next version of you and we shape the environment to support that.
And
dance backwards and forwards.
So if we were to leave our listeners with a couple of pragmatic things that they can get started with right away in terms of like how to work with your outsides to change your insides, what would be your advice?
My first advice is to collect your file of fabulous. Start taking and believing your own press. Believe what people say about you, because until, you know, your outsides are a reflection of your insides, even when you're not acknowledging them. So the people around you know that you are already a coach. Believe them. Take notice of what they say and curate that and read it like a script, because it is part of your becoming. And then scoot out a little bit, call in 90 days, your next iteration of you, maybe your next birthday or the end of the year. Who would you like to be? How would you like to be? Don't go so far out that you're terrified, but have it a nice stretch. And then give some thought to how you would show up. Would you dress differently? Would you be working differently? What could you shift? What can you do now with what you have that will anchor and pull in and scoot you closer to what you would like to be experiencing?
That's brilliant. I love it. I think you know that you have the right next incremental, you know, thing that you have in mind when it doesn't feel like overwhelming or like freezing because it's like too much and it freaks you out, or it's not too little that it just feels like flat, right? But when you have that sort of like a pleasant version of the butterflies, like lifting you up, it's like, ooh, like that sounds good. Like not like, oh my God, that's so big, but like that sounds like juicy, right? Like navigate by how you feel.
Yeah, exactly. And to use your phrase, get curious about this. Get really curious about, so how would I show up differently if I had 4 clients? What would my calendar look like? What would my daily schedule look like? Would I still do dishes? Would I still have, you know, 400 children running around all the time? How would I shift my life if I had this many clients? If I were this woman, how would I change? What would have changed? And then you reverse engineer it and you start doing what you can with what you have to pull in what you want.
I love it. Now, if this all sounds so fascinating and somebody wants to learn more and meet you and learn more about your work, how can they find you?
on Facebook always, Jacqueline Gates. And since I'm always on Simone's wall, you can follow me to find me on her friends list. And then also I have a secret group where we talk all about our inside outside. So using your home as a manifesting tool and the way you think about your home. And so you can join us there. It's called The Nest. And I'm starting to get my blog together. But if you're friends on Facebook, you'll hear all about that.
Yeah, I think the best thing will be for you to just be friends with Jacqueline on Facebook. And I will include the link for that in the show notes.
Thank you.
Okay. Ah, so much brilliance. It's so much gold. Thank you so much for being here. And I can't wait to accompany you on your next catapult, you know?
It's going to be so thrilling. And yes, there will be parades and feather headdresses and some glitter and confetti, at least, because some things really do need celebrating.
Yes. Oh my God. She's just the best. Don't you always just want to hear her talk about, like, read the phone book? I could just listen to her talk forever. All right. Thank you so much for being here. And I hope you will go out and, like, just get off the podcast and take one piece of action today from what Jacqueline recommended. Go start that file of fabulous. Go, think about what your next is and just cement that into a piece of your day today. Get the ball rolling and you'll be surprised by where it takes you. All right. I'll talk to you later. Hey, if you want a shot of fresh inspiration and actionable tips to improve your marketing every single week in your inbox, you better get on my email list. Sign up to receive my free ebook called 20 Unsolicited Copy Tips. It's been known to get people to come out of the woodwork and ask to work with you. So get on that, link in the show notes, and I'll see you in your inbox next time.